Anniversary on July 21st, Matthew and Brittany. Be 10 years. Brother Matthew's shaking his head. 10 years. But it's also a 10-year anniversary for us.
That's right.
So our first service in here in this building was the very next day. And so we are planning on some July meetings, 10th anniversary meetings. So please mark your calendar, July 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we'll let you know more details later. I think normal service times, Friday night, normally would be at 7, being Friday night. And then Saturday would be at 6. We usually do that. Sunday we'll have service at a normal time in the morning, and I think in the afternoon we'll set a time for us to come back and have some singing and worship like we normally do. But please mark your calendar and be in prayer. Have expectations. You get what you expect. And so it's hard to believe that it's been 10 years already, but I feel like the Lord has blessed us, and we've certainly, you know, really been blessed of the Lord. And so we want to show our thankfulness to Him, and just remember that. And this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and so we always want to remember those that have gone before us. Ultimately, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the true memorial. But He came and lived in the lives of lots of people throughout the ages to pay prices that you and I could be where we're at today. And so we want to just remember all those, even in our nation, those who paid a price that we could be in the freedoms that we have. And we know God was in it, in this nation at a time. Now this nation has turned their back on God now, but there's been many that have paved the way. And so we want to do our part. You know, I would hate to think that they worked so hard to maybe to where you and I could sit and hear the gospel this morning, and then we would just sit here half-heartedly.
Yeah.
And so one way that we can show our respect to those that have gone on is to thoroughly embrace what they made way for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we want to do today, just to remember all of those. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open Leviticus chapter 25. I want to talk to you today about the year of Jubilee. Year of Jubilees. Leviticus 25. We'll read verses 8 through 10. Everybody knows what it means to have Jubilee.
Yeah.
What it means to have liberty.
Yes.
Many went and paid a price that you and I could have liberty.
Yep.
Right. Leviticus 25, verse 8, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound through all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man to his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And then I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 1. Ephesians 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And one more scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect. Let's bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we are thankful for all that you've done for us, Lord. We're thankful for those that have gone ahead and prepared the way, especially you when you went up Calvary for us. We love you, Lord, and we just pray, God, that you allow us to sit in heavenly places this morning, as we just read, that you have given us that place, that inheritance, so we can sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we're presenting ourselves here this morning, that, Lord, that we could just reap the benefits of what you and those that have gone before us, Lord, that we can just draw those things into our spiritual walk this morning. We ask for your blessings upon each one, Lord, those that are present, those that are streaming, those that will stream later. Pray, God, that you speak to every heart. Asking in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise God. I know you love the Lord. I know you love each other. But it's always good just to say so. Amen. Amen. So, the year of Jubilee. We have all heard this saying. And I you will hear this in the denominations. They'll say to you that the Old Testament was Jesus Christ concealed, but the New Testament was Jesus Christ revealed. And that's true. I've even said that before, and that is true. But you know, when a prophet comes along, he takes it a little bit further and gives it a little bit more meaning. And the way he said it was that it was Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And so we're just going to kind of talk about some of the things that the Lord has committed to us. So we realize when Jesus Christ is the mystery of God revealed, we realize that God was hiding himself in the Old Testament. If Jesus Christ is the mystery of God revealed, then God intentionally had himself hid in mystery for a while and intended to express himself and reveal himself in Jesus Christ. He purposely had himself hid there that he could reveal himself in Christ. So that when you see Jesus Christ, you get the fullness of the revelation of God. God didn't want us to get the fullness of the revelation way back in Old Testament. He wanted us to get the full revelation of God in his revealing.
Yeah.
And yet, to make that revealing so powerful and so wonderful, God would go back in the Old Testament and live out types and shadows and hide himself there so that when Jesus Christ came on the scene and fulfilled all those things, then you can see the impact. In other words, you can't really, if I say he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, well, that wouldn't mean anything to you if you didn't have an Old Testament to tell you about the Lamb and it being slain and what all that meant.
Right.
So it takes that Old Testament to really make that New Testament come out. So we understand that. So God was hiding himself there, and specifically hiding himself in laws and traditions and customs that he gave to the children of Israel to live by. He gave them laws that eventually would live, that would reveal Christ later, mm-hmm. just in those laws. He gave them customs, he gave them traditions and so forth, things that God had them do and had them live in certain ways. And all of those things can be used to reveal Christ. Remember, a prophet told us that when you read the Bible, if you don't see Jesus Christ on every verse and every line, go back and read it again because you've missed something.
Right.
And that's the truth. And I'll tell you, there are scriptures I can look at that and I can say, well, I don't know if I see Jesus on that, but he's there, right? Even, Brother Ben said, even if you go back and look at the wicked people in the Old Testament, then he's the judge of those wicked. Right. So he's revealed in that. So he's revealed in all those things. And so God was hiding himself there in those things so that he could turn around and reveal himself. And we read in the scriptures there that those sacrifices and all that was done in the Old Testament could not make us perfect, could not bring us to a place where we had no more conscience of sin, meaning that you know, it couldn't actually take away the desire of sin from us. It could just shove it off for a while and kind of halfway covered or whatever. And so we read there that those things couldn't really make us perfect, but obviously the new covenant can make us perfect and put us in a place where God really wanted us to be.
Yeah.
And so God was showing the true atonement that could only come out in the New Testament. He was showing it in types and shadows in the Old Testament. We've been through that so many times. For instance, the serpent on the pole. I love witnessing the people, and I love bringing out these things to show them because, you know, I don't know about other people, but I don't remember in Pentecost and in church before, I don't remember people preaching types and shadows and all those things. Brother Brandon was the one that came along and began to do that, and yet I find something in me that really stirs me when I see these things.
Yeah.
And so I love to witness to people, and I love to talk to them about things, and I give them the example, say, you know, When the children of Israel were bitten by serpents, and God told Moses to put the serpent up on the pole, a brass serpent on a pole, and that anybody that would look to that serpent would be healed from the snake bite. And how that was a type of Jesus Christ being lifted up on Calvary, because brass represents judgment. And he was lifted up, divinely, sin was divinely judged. And so that serpent on the pole way back then was just a type and a shadow so that when Christ comes and we could see that serpent on the pole in the Old Testament, we could see it again, but this time in Jesus Christ, then you know you're looking at truth when you see that come forth like that. You know that when you want to see the New Testament and the New Covenant and understand everything God's really committed to us, you'll see those Old Testament customs and traditions and all that stuff, you'll see that in there. Because it was types and shadows.
Right.
And so Jesus was lifted up, and all we have to do is look to Calvary, repent of our sins, and look to him, and God will heal us of the snake bite of sin if we just look to him. And so we talk about David, how that David was a rejected king standing there over Jerusalem, king of the nation, rejected, and standing there looking down over Jerusalem and crying, weeping. And yet, you know, so many hundreds of years later, here's Jesus standing there looking over over Jerusalem, weeping as a rejected king. So when you see those things in Old Testament come alive in the New Testament, then you see the connection there of the types and shadows. How that Joseph was hated by his brother. Jesus was hated by his brother.
Right.
Joseph was sold into slavery, went down into the pit. Jesus was sold out by his brothers and went down into the grave, mm-hmm. into hell.
Yep.
Joseph was exalted out of there and brought to the highest position in the land other than Pharaoh himself. Jesus ascended on high out of the grave, come out and went up and became to the right hand of the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
All power in heaven and earth is given to me. And so, and then for us, so we really like to understand, and Brother Branham brought this out, I've never heard anybody else's, that was that Joseph was given a Gentile wife. And so Jesus Christ, when we see in the New Testament that God visited the Gentiles to take out a people for his name, and that would be his bride, then you see that Old Testament happening again.
Right.
And so you know you're looking at truth because God is testifying to this truth that we're hanging on to all the way through. It's not like you come up and what we've got, there was never a background for it. No, this is a fulfillment of everything that God started way back there and was making way. So it could mean so much to us now when we look back and see those things. And so, and Brother Ram said that Joseph, when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, his wife was in the palace.
Yeah.
And he said, that means that when Jesus Christ reveals himself to these Jews in this day, you and I will already be in a rapture.
That's right.
We'll be in his palace.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. And so you see those things, and so you can take them to the bank, I guess, if you want to say it that way. When you see those things in the Old Testament coming out and in the New Testament, then you know you're looking at truth. Well, this year of Jubilee, this that we just read about is no different. It's just like all those other scriptures. There's the full significance of the year of Jubilee comes now. Not, it wasn't back then. That was just a shadow and a type and something that was laying there that we could identify now in the New Testament. But to realize that the reality of the real Jubilee, year of Jubilee, comes now, and that was just a prefigure of it. And so we want to talk about it just for a little bit. So, we realized that God gave to Abraham the promised land, that I've given it to you. And yet he couldn't claim it at the time, but he said, I've given it to you, and give it to your offspring. So God gave a promised land to Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 patriarchs, became the 12 tribes. And so... So as we've said so many times, we talk about this quite often, that this promised land that God gave to them in the Old Testament is a type of our life in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And so God gave to the tribes. So each tribe, each one had a certain place that was given to them, a certain place in the land. So, tribe of Judah, they had a certain place. And of course, back then, when God gave it to Abraham, God knew that there would be 12 patriarchs. He knew there'd be 12 tribes. He knew all the places where these 12 tribes would be, because it's foreordained of God, and God had given it to them. And so, of course, as the tribes come along and they go to be placed into the land, then they have to be placed in the place that God had given them. Mm-hmm. And so these, they had been given this place, this life where they could go live and they could prosper. And so every man, every family had a portion of land that was his. And so they would live on that land. And of course, a man would give it to his son. As he got old and passed away, his son would have it. So that family would hold that possession of land generation after generation, because that was given to them by God, and God intended for them to keep it. He intended it for to stay with that family. And it wasn't like, well, I'll just go sell this and give it away, and now it belongs to somebody else. No, God said this belongs to a certain tribe, a certain family, and you're not going to lose it.
That's right.
This was God's program. You're not going to lose this promised land or this spot. And so what I'm trying to show you is that there is a specific inheritance for God's people.
Amen.
And he intends for you to have it. And no matter what comes along, he intends for you to keep it. And so so they have this promised land. And then we talked here recently about how that Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but it took Joshua to put them in the promised land. And the Joshua of the Old Testament was the Ephesian of the New, or the Ephesian of the New Testament was Joshua the Old, because Joshua placed them in the actual place where they belong. And Brother Branham was the one that come along and said, so we've got to have another Ephesus, another time where God places us here at this end time, places us in the actual promise that God has given us. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
And so for us, not just the life of the Holy Ghost, but since we're the last people and we're the ones that take a body change, then we're talking about a body change. We're talking about everything that God said we would have leading up to and through body change. That's what we're talking about. We have a specific promise that has been given to us, and it is our inheritance.
Right.
And so we've talked about that quite a bit recently, and we talked about how that Esau did not have a respect for his birthright. He did not have a respect for that inheritance that was going to come to him. And he counted something to eat, which would... You know, that food that he ate probably only lasted and gave him strength for a few hours.
Right.
And that's it. It was gone. And he was willing to trade that for a perpetual inheritance. Right? then his offspring could have. And so we know that God wants us to have respect to the birthright, and he wants us to want that promise that God has given us, that promised land. So Joshua is the one that places them. But you realize that, as I've already said, it was given to them long before that. Even though Joshua gave them the promised land and took each tribe and told them, here's your place, here's your place, here's your place, those positions had already been given to them long ago. And here's what Brother Branham said about it. He said, when those wives of Jacob, when they began to bring forth and they were in birth pains and about to deliver that child, as they were in those pains and delivering, and they would speak the name of the child in that pain and in that delivery, and when they would, he said, when they spoke the name of the child, that name placed them in the very place that they were going to be later on. So think about that. God had his hand in such a way that even though long before he gave it to Abraham, he knew and said, you know, this land here is going to be Ephraim's, and this land here is going to be Manasseh's, and this land is going to be Judah. He already had it figured out. And so when these women were giving birth to these child, they didn't know, perhaps. Maybe they were just being inspiration at the moment, whatever, depending on the pain they had or whatever. But when they spoke that name of that child, that name that child had matched the land, the promise that God had already made for them, yep. That already had them picked out. And so when they got older, Joshua took that person, that family, that tribe with that name that belonged in a certain spot, and he placed them in the very spot that they were ordained to be in. And that was to be their land, and it was to pass down through that family and stay in that family. Mm-hmm. Stay, you understand?
Right.
And so, thank God for a prophet that can help us see some things like that.
Amen.
So remember, so there's a name, and then there's an inheritance that goes with that name.
Right.
But remember, when we say a name, it's really a life, right? Because what speaks louder than anything is just the life the person lived, but we tack a name onto it, but it's really the life.
Right.
That's why when God would open the seven sealed book and we could see the names on the book, he's not calling the names, he's calling the life of the people behind that seal.
Yeah.
And that's their name. So when these names were given, but really there's a life that child that was going to live that belonged to that inheritance. So there's an inheritance that fits the person, that fits the nature. And God was the one that made the arrangement. He's the one that created and did all this, right? He's the one that knew the nature of the child and where they would be and what part they'd play in the plan of God. So God's the one that did that. And so it's not just a name, it's a life that belongs to a particular land. Now, I hope you're staying spiritual as you go through this, that we all, as part of God, the body of Christ, that God gives each one of us. We have a name, we have a life, we have a character, but there's an inheritance that he's given us that matches that.
Amen.
You know, God gives you the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost works through your temperament.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? And so you have that. So this is God's program that he made this association of the life and the character and the inheritance they're going to be. And when they're in that inheritance, everybody's got their own place, but as a whole, that was God, the nation of Israel, and that was God's people. Just like we, all of us as a whole, make the body of Christ around the world. Each one with their own gift, each one with their own calling, each one with the Holy Ghost working through our temperament. That's why you should never try to be somebody you're not. Don't ever try to preach like somebody else preaches. That's one thing that I absolutely is a big turn away for me when I hear somebody else who's not Donnie Reagan say, oh, I smell fried hide.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a mockery. Emulation.
Right?
And so, and not to get off, but I'm just saying, don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to look in a way you're not. That's why all this painted up stuff is nonsense. Be yourself.
Yes.
And you'll never have to worry about anything. Just be yourself. As I've always said to the young people, just be yourself. And if you fall in love with somebody and they fall in love with you, then there's no surprises.
Right, right.
Just be yourself. And so God makes this association, and God does not make mistakes. So when he said, this piece of land over here belongs to Ephraim, that belongs to Ephraim.
Right.
And there's not one thing that any man or any person or any king or any nation could do to change that.
Yes, sir.
Even Ephraim himself could not do something to change that. Because
right.
God is perfect. So it makes no difference how many millions of years goes by, that still belongs to the one that God gave it to.
That's right.
So you have a portion that belongs to you.
Amen.
And no king, no devil, nobody anywhere can change what God has said is yours.
Amen.
Right? Nothing can change that. Not even you can change that. Right? You can get yourself in trouble, and we'll talk about this here in a minute. But nothing can change what God has given you. It belongs to you, and you're going to have it. Because he has said so. And so, no matter what man does, God's going says it belongs there, and that's it. And so because that's the way it is, back here in the Old Testament, God put laws and customs and things in place to declare that.
Mm-hmm.
To say, here's your land, it belongs to you. However, and God, the scripture tells us that God knows that we are but dust.
Mm-hmm.
He understands what it's like to have to fight the fight that you fight. The scripture said he was tempted in all points like as we, right? So he's able to help us. He's able to help us in all these things.
Right.
And so, and we're thankful for that. He knows that we are but dust. And that we go through things and so forth like that. And so, he knew that the children of Israel, though he had given them promised land, he knew that they would get in trouble, make a bad financial decision, something, and have to sell off that land because they couldn't survive. He knew that sicknesses would happen. He knew that things would come along that would cause that family or that tribe or whatever to be in a hard place where they had to make a decision and it basically they'd have to give up their land. God knew this, but he said, no, it's still theirs. So he put laws into place that for this year of Jubilee that if a person had gotten in financial trouble and they had to sell off this land that God had given them, that God said, okay, but it's only just for a while, because when the year of Jubilee comes around, when that trumpet sounds, that land that this man over here bought from this person here, that land now comes back to that person free of charge. Everybody, you understand that?
Amen.
And so when a person would buy a piece of land that wasn't really theirs by God, they just bought it from someone, they only really bought it for however many years it was until it became year of Jubilee. The scripture said that they would set a price. They would look and say, well, how many years is it between now and Jubilee? Maybe it's 10 years. Then I'm going to give you a price that's equivalent to what this land is worth for 10 years. If it was 20 years, it was a greater price that you would pay for it. So you were only paying for that land for that amount of time up until year of Jubilee, because after that, you lose it. It goes back to the guy you bought it from. Right? And so, and when you'd sell it. So they would set a price based upon that, depending on how long it was. Because God had put this in place that no matter what had happened, no matter where they'd come in financial ruin, made a bad decision, whatever it was, it made no difference that when the year of Jubilee came around, when that trumpet sounded, that land, that possession went back to the person God had given it to. Now bring that over into our experience in the Holy Ghost. Right? You may make decisions that cost you, but it's coming back.
Right.
Because God said so.
Yeah.
Because what God has given you, he makes no mistakes, it's coming back to you, because, and I'm talking about God's children. Right? You can't apply this to the world.
Right.
And you know, and so it's coming back because he said so. And even the person, it wasn't just the land, but even if a person had got themselves sold into slavery, so now they're a slave. When that year of Jubilee came along and that trumpet was sounded on the Day of Atonement to start the year of Jubilee, when that happened, that slave, if he wanted to go free, that slave could go free. And that's why it said, and every man will return back to his possession. He gets his land back, whatever he sold or whatever. And every man would return back to his family because he would be a slave. He could come back to his family. So you realize that everything that God had given them, they got it back when that trumpet sounded for the year of Jubilee.
Right.
They get it back. Now that's a type.
Amen.
That's a type and a shadow.
Right.
And I said, we look at that, but it really makes it come clear in the New Testament, even though that had to be there, we really can understand what that really means over here now. It means so much more to us, and so Lord willing, we'll cover those things here in a minute. But so this year of Jubilee, we read it there, God said, now there's going to be seven Sabbaths of years. So biblically speaking, a sabbatical year is 7 years, right? Call it a year, but 7 years. So there were seven years that go along, and that seventh year would be a Sabbath year. And God in the scripture we read said, now you'll do that seven times. So seven times seven is 49. So you'll have seven sets of seven equaling 49 years. And then at the Day of Atonement, when they blow that trumpet, you have this 50th year, which would be the year of Jubilee, when everybody can go back and all and so forth. And so during these seven times seven, somebody might lose their land. They might be sold into slavery or whatever. And no matter what it was, no matter how long, what happened, when that Jubilee trumpet sounded, God said, you get to go back to everything that I had given you to begin with. Amen? That's right there in the scriptures. So that Day of Atonement, starting that year of Jubilee, it started with a trumpet sound. And when that trumpet sound, everybody could come back and every slave could go free. But there were some exceptions to that. So if a piece of land was inside a walled city, it could not go free when that trumpet sounded. And Brother Bam typed that to denominations, because denominations put up walls. Right? If it was land outside the wall, the plains, and out all up through there, it was all, it applied. But land that was inside a walled city could not be set, they couldn't go back to them if they lost it. It was done. Right? So, and also, if a slave was serving his master, and this is how, I know you've heard Brother Ram say this, but when he would serve however many years, whatever it was, but when that trumpet sounded, if that slave said, you know, I don't really want to go free, I want to stay with my master, and I want to continue to be a servant to him, then they would take that person down to the temple, and they would bore his ear through with an awl. They'd poke a hole in it, because that don't go away, right? That's a mark. Something that can't be reversed. Keep thinking about what I said the other night, how that God's bringing us to a place of finality, and how Satan's doing the same thing with his people, or last week. And so they bore his ear through with an awl. And Brother Brown said, see, when you hear that gospel trumpet, you see it vindicated before you, and you reject it, and you don't want to embrace it, then you get marked where you can never hear it anymore after that.
Right.
That when God is speaking to you out of his word, and it's catching your attention, but you make a decision not to go with it, and you walk away from that, then you get into a place where you'll never hear another gospel trumpet again. You're bored of hearing. And of course, physically, if you lived open enough, you could hear another one. But it didn't make no difference, because you were bored through with the ear. You couldn't go free.
Yeah.
You were a servant from then on out. A mark. And so that was some of the exceptions there. So this was all done by a trumpet sound. And we know that scripture says that if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare to war?
Right.
Or as Brother Bram said in the trumpets, he said, you know, a trumpet is always a gathering. There's trumpets for different types of gatherings. Might be for a feast, it might be for war, it might be to, you know, if you're out on the battlefield, it might, you know, there's a certain trumpet for charge. There's a trumpet for retreat. There may be a certain trumpet that says for this tribe to come together, retreat back to there so they can regroup. You know, there's different trumpet sounds.
Yeah.
And so, and the scripture said if a trumpet gave an uncertain sound, if you don't understand the trumpet sound, you don't know what to do.
Right.
So you realize in God's economy, he expects He expects his people, and his people will, they do, they'll hear the sound, and they know what that sound is. Because otherwise, God would be a God of confusion.
Yeah.
Right? So if they had trumpets of sound, and we've got trumpets of sound over here, then we must know, we have to know what that sound means. And when we hear it, we will know. Otherwise, God's a God of confusion. See? So when God, and so, you know, when you're out there and you're on the battlefield and there's all these clanging and all these swords and everything, there's all kinds of noise and the people screaming and hollering, how are you going to get people's attention? So they blow a trumpet, because a trumpet is something that sounds loud to overcome all the other noise.
Right.
To overcome everything. So no matter what you're doing, it's designed to get your attention. It's designed to come right into your place, right into your home, right into your life, and speak and say something to you to get your attention.
Amen.
So it's a loud voice. It's something that happens. And the whole purpose there is so that it would override everything so that you could hear it. And then you recognize that. If you recognize that trumpet sound, you know how to respond to it. That's what that's about. So this Day of Atonement had a trumpet sound. There was obviously a certain sound, a certain trumpet voice that would come from that people would know, because anybody could go out there and blow a trumpet, make it, oh, you know, a false trigger, oh, yeah, Day of Atonement, when it's not true. So they had a certain trumpet, certain sound, certain thing that they would do. And so the people knew when they heard that. As Brother Bram said, if you were out there in the field hoeing, as soon as you heard that sound, you could throw that hoe down right there and you could walk away and go right back to your family, go right back to your possession, and nobody could stop you. And so when you hear it, recognize it, and act upon it. Because the slave, he decided he didn't want to act upon it. He said, nah, I'll stay with my master. Right? See, you have to act upon it. And so we remember that the scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians, we'll read this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We're very familiar with this. But would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which sleep, as you saw or not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul is saying this is thus saith the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump, which is a trumpet, with a loud sounding voice, with a voice just to get people's attention, a voice loud enough that it will get in and override what they're doing so they hear it,
amen,
so they can respond to it, see? So with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so all these trumpets and so forth. And so there is the Day of Atonement. They blow this trumpet. It kicks off the year of Jubilee. And it's a certain voice that you have to recognize. Now, this was Old Testament. This, we said, God was hiding himself. So God was hiding himself in this Day of Jubilee, or Year of Jubilee, Day of Atonement. God was hiding himself there and wanted to reveal himself in Christ, so you could have the full reality of what God really meant when he was doing all this back here. Yeah, it was something for them, and it meant a lot to them, but there's a more and greater significance to us, because that was just a type and a shadow of what you and I have today. So God wants us to see. And so once we see today what that was, and we see that Old Testament custom and so forth coming forth in the New Testament, you know you're looking at truth when you see that. So, remember I said there were seven sevens, and I know we've talked about this before, but those seven sevens was, Brother Bram said, was seven church ages. So after seven sets of seven, there would be a 50th. At the end of the seventh set of sevens, there would be a trumpet sound. And that trumpet sound would usher in a message. A trumpet sound, a message that would catch the people's attention who recognize it, that would tell them that you get to return back to everything God had given you, no matter how you lost it, how long ago you lost it, no matter where it went, whatever. When you hear that sound of that trumpet, you can go free and you get to go back exactly to the Holy Ghost that you may have turned your back on or whatever. You follow me? When you hear that message, then there's nothing that Satan can do to stop you from going right back to what God had given you to begin with.
Amen.
Amen. And so that was a trumpet sound at the end of the seventh set at seven. Brother Ramsey said that was seven church ages. Mm-hmm. So you know that at the end of the seventh church age, there would be a trumpet, a message sound.
Amen.
And in the scriptures it said it, they would blow that trumpet on the 10th day of the seventh month. And when you go all the way over here in the book of Revelation, you see that seventh angel, when he began to sound, right? That whole thing, that whole ministry was Revelation 10:7. To show you that God had it hand on the Bible and on the customs and on the translation. And when they put numbers beside the scriptures, he made it to where it landed that was Revelation 10:7, so that you could see that seventh message matched that Day of Atonement message back in the Old Testament. So when you see those things and you see it come alive, you know you're looking at truth.
Right.
You know, you see. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that trumpet voice, that message is the very message that will return you back to what God had given you.
Amen.
No matter how you lost it. No matter what happened. No matter how long ago it was. And this is to all ages. Right? It's not just to us. This is to all ages. Because it's this message where he gathers together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and in earth. We read it. And so this message goes out into all those dimensions. As it said, who's worthy to open the book?
Right.
And it came back from those dimensions
right. That
no one was worthy. So you know that call went out to all those dimensions and they answered back. So this message that comes at the end of the seventh church age is the message that kicks off our jubilee, our year of jubilee, where everyone can go free, everyone can go back, everyone hears it and accepts it, can return to their inheritance. Now, what is our inheritance? We've said it so many times, but our inheritance was given to us. We read it there in Ephesians, especially in verse 11 and verse 14. That we have been given an inheritance, and it was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world was. Long ago, it was arranged. And nothing can ever change that. So we have to come to that place and to that spot that God gave us in Christ before the world was. And when that trumpet sounds, then that's the only thing that can happen is that all of God's people are going to be gathered back and returned back to the very thing God had ordained them to be all along. And nothing can change that. Amen. And so, at that time, when they hear that trumpet sound, then you can go free and you can return back to what God had given you before the foundation of the world. God had given us a body change.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us a life in the Holy Ghost to overcome in this hour and come right down to that moment of body change and given us a body change. And no one can take your place.
Right.
No one can say, well, you know, I guess they don't want it. I'll just give it to somebody else. No, God's in his laws of the Old Testament, he showed us that he intends for it to be brought back to the one he gave it to, because he's God and he's perfect. He makes no mistakes.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So this trumpet sounds, and it sounds in the midst of slavery. It sounds in the midst of, say, you had this land, and you made some bad decisions, and now it belongs to somebody else. That's not too happy. You'd be probably pretty sad over that.
Right.
And perhaps you're actually in slavery. God doesn't want you in slavery. In other words, he wants you to have jubilee. He wants you to have liberty. He wants you to enjoy the inheritance that he intends for you to have. He wants you to have those things. And so You might make decisions and get yourself in trouble and so forth and all those sorts of things. God doesn't want that. He wants you to be free.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to be a slave.
No.
You know, when you're a slave, you can't do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a slave, they make you do things you don't want to do, or they make you work really hard. And slavery is such where you work really hard for them and they get the benefit, and you're not, all you get is you're wore away. You seemingly have no benefit. And Satan's, in this modern day, in the way everything's designed, you know, slaves that are so weak that they can't even raise up off the bed are no good.
Right.
But slaves that are so strong that they can overtake you, they're no, you can't have that either.
Right.
So there's this middle class where they put you. So they give you just enough that you can perform for them. Right? But you can't rebel against them.
Right.
Now you can take that into all kinds of things.
Sure.
But that's slavery. Because you have to pay the system. You have to pay the one that you're slavery to. And God does not want us to be slaves.
Amen.
He wants us to have liberty. He wants us to be able to enjoy life. He wants us to be able to go and do according to a righteous life that he wants us to live. He wants us. He doesn't want us paying and wearing ourselves away for Satan. And so these people may have sold their land, been off in slavery, but it's in the midst of that kind of case, in sorrow, beatings on your back, you know, with lashes. I've worked for 400 days without a day off out in the heat, and my back's bloody, and this evil tyrant over me that I'm serving. And it's in a time like that that trumpet sounds. And I say that because I want you to remember, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard life is to you and what you're having to deal with, Brother Tim with a job situation, or Brother Daniel, or whatever. Right? I have issues at my job that's cropping up that's not the best in the world. No matter what it is. See, it's in an hour like that that God wants to blow that trumpet, and he wants to blow it loud enough that you can hear it. And that you can recognize it. And that you've got to understand in yourself. You've got to know what that means. You have to know when you hear that sound what God is saying to you. And what he's giving to you. And what he's telling you, proved you through timeline, that where we're at now, this trumpeting sound that he is giving to us, that we're hearing, is telling us we're at the time where we're going free. It's time. It's at the time for body change. It's a time where everything's changing, and now God's having his way.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of man's way. So it's in those times where time is so hard and you feel like you're so wore out and you're put out and you feel like I lost my experience with God the way I used to have it so long ago, and I don't think he would ever, brother, sister, I don't care what you do, when that trumpet sounds, you can go back.
Amen.
And it's a gospel trumpet. We realize that this is every church service can be a gospel trumpet to you.
Yeah.
Right? Every church service can be a gospel trumpet where you've made mistakes, and but God tells you you can go back and be put right back where you are supposed to be, that he has given you. But we realize through the ages, now we've come to an age where it is trumpet sound for this to take us to the day of atonement, taking us to the year of Jubilee, that all of us get to go back to the position that God had given us in the mind of Christ, in God's mind, excuse me, before the world was, that we all return to that. Mm-hmm. Remember, Brother Rev said that God took a snapshot at you of your best, and that's in his file, mm-hmm. as it were. And he said, nothing will ever mar that image. Nothing will ever take that away. You can say, but I made a mistake. I knew I shouldn't have. It makes no difference. And again, I'm talking to God's children. It makes no difference. God has a jubilee for you. He has a trumpet sound for you. And all you have to do is hear that sound. Hear that word speak to you.
Yep.
And realize that it is speaking above all your case and all your circumstances you're going through. You hear it. And there's that word that says you can go free.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to receive it. You've got to act upon it. You've got to accept it. And don't turn it down. Amen. So it comes at a time where slavery conditions aren't so good. And I would imagine that an evil man, maybe perhaps he knows that tomorrow is the day that trumpet's going to sound. And tomorrow, all of my slaves, I'm going to lose them. Because the law says they have to go, that I have to let them go. I would imagine that probably he would make them work harder that day than any other day that they've been there. You understand what I'm saying? So you expect Satan, because the scripture, he knows he's in trouble. He knows these things is coming. And you expect that when the closer we get to these things, that Satan is going to be just that much more relentless. Frankly, he really becomes relentless whenever the bride goes up. Because he comes down and he has great wrath, because he knows he has a short while. Because God has redeemed his people off the earth, and he knows that God is now going to wipe the thing clean, and he's in trouble.
Right.
See, that's why the scriptures say those things. So, you may have been in bondage for 48 or 49 years. You may have served, you may have been bound with something for years. But it makes no difference when you hear that sound. You get to go free. Amen. You may have made mistakes, but it doesn't matter. When God says you can go free, you can go free if you want to. Amen. And this is where Brother Bram says, did somebody say something? What was that? Oh, it was, you know. Things don't change. It was CB radios getting that on the intercom system back then, with cell phones today, right? So, amen. So it doesn't matter. But here's the thing. When you hear that trumpet sound, you hear it. You hear it. And it makes sense to you. You hear God calling your name. You hear him saying to you, you don't have to serve this guy anymore. You don't have to click on things you shouldn't click on. You don't have to say things you shouldn't say.
Right.
That's the devil making you do that. And I will tell you, the people that have problems like that, after it's over with, they're remorse, because that's not what they want. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the devil making them do that kind of thing. But here's the thing. The gospel trumpet message tells you, you don't have to serve that devil.
Amen.
You do not have to paddle in the boat of this world, because God has gave a trumpet sound to you to set you free. And you walk before him. Amen.
Amen?
So you hear it, and that makes it is your jubilee. Amen? That means that it's liberty coming to you because you hear it. In other words, it's a personal experience. You're not going to look around and see what God's doing to somebody else, right? It's you.
Amen.
And when you hear that and you know God's speaking to you, jump on board with it.
Yeah.
And see just how much you can get out of that, the benefits of what God is speaking to you and giving to you. Because he has told you, just like Brother Ram said, he gives them his word. He gives them signs. He gives them wonder. He says, there's nothing else left but judgment. And he said, well, I just give them my word. And if they wouldn't believe that, that would settle it. And so God's telling you, here's your route to victory.
Right.
Through a type and a shadow to show you what the greater thing that was going to come. And now you're seeing it, and you see it vindicated with seven seals, seven ages, a trumpeting message, and an hour. A gospel that is setting you free from all denominational teaching and all worldly stuff. A message that tells us how to live and survive and go forward in this hour. Amen. So you hear it and it becomes liberty to you. And I'll end by saying this. If you give me liberty as a brother, I hope you understand what I'm saying. When Brother Bram said a pardon is not a pardon unless you receive it as a pardon, then if I may have the liberty to tell you that the year of Jubilee is not a year of Jubilee unless you receive it as that.
Amen.
You have to receive what God's promised you out of his word. Yeah. And he's shown us through all kinds of types and shadows and all the way, amen, to show you that it is our Jubilee. Our liberty our Day of Atonement. Amen. But how do you do that? You receive it. You accept it. And you let it change you. Amen. May the Lord bless you when the dear musicians come. Just like when children of Israel come out and the people were thirsty, and God said to Moses, go smite that rock. And when Moses smote that rock, water came out of it so the people could drink. And that was Christ. That Christ was smitten on Calvary, and the water of life came from him for us to drink. Then later on, Moses got in a situation where the people were thirsty. And God had said, speak to the rock. And Moses got all aggravated, and he went, and instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it again. And because of that, he could not enter into the promised land because he smote the rock again. That would show you that Christ would be smitten again. Well, Christ doesn't need to be smitten but one time to save us. So after that rock is smitten, then all you have to do is speak. Speak to the rock. And let me just encourage you this morning. That's all you have to do right here this morning. If you've sold yourself out into something, you've lost something, you know you're not walking in the full Holy Ghost move that God wants for you, you don't have to go back and crucify him over again. That's already been done. Just talk to him. As Brother Ram said, I'd like to talk it over. Just talk it over with him. Because he understands. He knows. Let's just pray. Lord, as we come to you now, we want to thank you, Lord, for these truths that comes out of your word. God, how that you, in such darkness, in such a great hour of darkness, that you, with your gospel light, you penetrate through that darkness and you speak to our hearts and you cause us to see that there is hope, Lord, and it's only found in you. And Lord, this hour, as I was speaking to a man at work the other day, that it's such a dark hour out there, but I told him, I said, that just makes it that much easier for the gospel light to shine. And Lord, that's the way it is. In this hour, Lord, your truth just shines through like a great spotlight, and it shows us our way that we need to go. We love you, Lord, and we're asking, God, that you'd speak to every heart, touch every heart, that every person here now pray and committing their life to you. Changes and mistakes, just laying it all at your altar, Lord. And God, that you'd come right back and confirm that gospel trumpet that they're hearing this morning. That they too are free. They too can come back to that full joy in the Holy Ghost and that victory in their life that you promised that they could have. We love you, Lord. We just know that you love your people, and we appreciate all that you do for us. And we just pray, God, that you go with your people as they go now. As they make these decisions, drive a stake in the sand. Lord, we ask that you would meet them here. We ask that you.